One, two, three, go. Lest I forget, two books that I want to highly recommend that have everything to do with Lesson 17. That's where we're at today. Lesson 17 on God's Will and Guidance. All right, God's Will Found by John MacArthur. Notice, very small, but very good. Very good. Excellent help. And we're talking about the will of God for our lives. The other one that is one of my favorite books of all times, J. Adams is one of my favorite writers. He's so clear and biblical in his counsel for us. And this is called The Christian's Guide to Guidance. The Christian's Guide to Guidance by J. Adams. Okay, we're going to start here in Psalm 23. We're talking about God's will and God guiding our lives.
Another book, can I add?
No, but thank you. Well, you'll go ahead. Of course, thanks.
Kevin DeYoung, Just Do Something.
Oh, yes.
It's geared a lot towards high school, college.
Yes.
But it's a fantastic book.
Thanks, Justin. Thank you so much. Psalm 23. Okay, God's will and guidance. That's what we're thinking about. That's where our minds are geared right now. Psalm 23, you could have quoted it, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What does it say next? He what?
Leads.
He leads. What are we talking about? Guidance, God's will, right? Notice verse 3, he restores my soul. He what else does it say? He guides me. He guides me. Turn with me to Psalm 31. Does the Bible convey to us that God will assist us in this thing, knowing his will and guiding us in life? Psalm 31, verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will what?
Lead.
You'll lead me, Lord. You'll guide my life. You'll help me. Now, I realize, you know, should I take the job there in North Carolina or stay here in Hoosier Land, you know? We're going to move in that house, or what about that, you know, should we stay in our, I realize all these decisions in life, you're not going to find a Bible verse where they ought to buy the red truck or the blue one, right? I get that. Life's a matter of choices. But I want you to see, first of all, let's start with God. That's the best place to start, amen? And what does God say in his word? That he will what? He will lead us. He will guide us. Psalm 73. Let's turn there. Psalm 73. You'll be tested on all these next week, right? Psalm 73, verse 24. 73:24. I like to hear from you. When you get there to that passage, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, good. 24. With your counsel, you will guide me. Who has a ESV? What does the ESV say, Vicki?
Counsel.
Okay, counsel. Same thing. With your counsel. Now, where do you find God's counsel? In his word. I'm not trying to be oversimplistic, but I am trying to drive home the fact that the bulk of God's will is God's word. Is God's word. Okay? How about Psalm 119? Psalm 119. 176 times the Bible's telling us the word of God is everything for us. Psalm 119, 130, I think. Yeah, Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words gives what?
Light.
What's the idea of light in the Bible? Direction, you know, see where you're going. The word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path, correct? Another great promise concerning this. Now let's go over into the Gospel of John. John, chapter 16, John 16. Isn't this great? Just like a Bible study, amen? John 16. 14, 15, and 16, key chapters in our Bible concerning person, work, coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Boy, key in our life for guidance. Chapter 16, verse 7, I tell you the truth. Who's speaking here?
Christ.
Jesus is. I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, down in verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will what?
Guide.
In truth. So here we have the Spirit of God living in us to help us, to guide us in life and the decisions that we face in life. Say, but wait a minute, I need wisdom about whether or not I ought to take that job in North Carolina. Or I need wisdom about that relative is always improves our prayer life. And now he needs help, okay? And should I help him or not help him? Loan him money or give him money? How should I approach it? I need wisdom. What is the proverb screaming at us throughout the whole book of Proverbs? Get what?
Wisdom.
What is wisdom? Skill, knowledge in the use of the Word of God in making decisions, among other things. Now turn to the book of James. James. Hebrews, then James, right? Hebrews and James. What does James tell us about God's will and about guidance? James chapter 1, verse 5. I need wisdom for making right choices and right decisions. Verse 5. But if any of you lacks what?
Wisdom.
Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know why? Because if you have your theology right, you understand God is a good God. God is not out to yank you around or cause you confusion or playing games with our lives in terms of the decisions that we're making. So we want wisdom. Humble yourself before God and seek it through prayer and his word. Now there's more involved, but the Bible has a lot to say about this right from the beginning, does it not? Amen? Okay, now to our lesson. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is another great one about it. And we all got this one memorized, don't we? We could not look at the, we could look up here and we could recite it together, correct? Everybody up here. I'm seeing all of your eyes right now. Okay. Trust in the Lord with
all your heart.
And lean not
your
in all your
ways,
and by the way, oftentimes people want counsel, but they're not in the Word, and they don't have a walk with God. And they've got this passage upside down. God, you guide my path, and I'll get real with you. No, that's not how it works, right? How does it work? You get the right things on top. You have a relationship with God. You have a walk in his Word. Then God says, hey, you trust in him, not your own heart. We've got more to say about the heart today. We still need to think right and so forth. But I'll guide you. And then Ephesians 5:17 put there, because there's a whole lot of silly foolishness about God's will for people's lives. So Ephesians 5:17 says, let's not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The other challenge I make you in this, if you're struggling with the will of God, then check out your concordance or your little Bible program, whatever else that you use, and just look up the word will of God, and you'll find there are several things that are stated in the scripture. This is God's will for you. For instance, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, by way of example. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, chapter 4. So these are other things that we want to have right. We want to start with the right things. God already says, here's things I've told you. This is your will, God's desired will for your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. How does verse 3 start? For this is what?
The will of God.
Whoa. Then the antennas better go up, right? This is God's will for your life. What? Your sanctification. Your what is that word for? Your holiness, your purity of life, your sanctification, that is, and now he said in the negative, that you abstain from sexual immorality and so forth. But I know God's will for my life is that I'm called to live a holy life, a pure life separated from evil. Amen?
Amen.
So we're working on that, likewise, with reference to knowing God's will. Okay, back to the syllabus under number one, then God's will. The Bible sets forth God's will two ways. One is his decreed will, The other is his desired will. Under A, we're going to talk about God's decreed will. The Bible sets forth two aspects. One's decreed. Underline that word decreed. Relates to his rule over all things. And the other is his desired. Underline that word desired. And his desired will is all over the Bible, like this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That's his desired will. Amen? All over the Bible. Okay, so first we start with God's sovereign will in our lives. It's well said that God plans his work and he works his plan. Nothing happens that is not in his plan. History is the unfolding of God's purposes. So we look up these passages and we're reminded what they say to us about God's sovereign will in his word. And Isaiah 46, 10, 11 says something to the fact that God's purpose is established and he'll get it done. Right? Something to that effect. God's will is established and he'll get it done. He will accomplish it. By the way, we pray that, don't we? Thy will what? Be done. Yeah. Daniel 4. What a great book. What a man. Daniel said he does according to his will. And he also says, and no one will stop it, in effect. No one's going to stop it. 4:35. Now, some of these I'm kind of paraphrasing for you, but something to that effect. And Ephesians 1:11 says, God works all things to the counsel of his will. And as the old saying goes, that's the place where all means all, and that's all means. All things, ultimately the counsel of his own will. Now, Romans 8:28 is for believers. Believers. According to God's sovereign will, the Bible declares that God causes some things, right? All things. Everybody say all things. All things. What do you mean that relative or that tire that blew out on the way to work? You know, all things? All things? All things. So then when I get angry, I can blame that on the sovereignty of God because he works out all things to the counsel, right? Huh? No, we're still responsible, aren't we? Those two things are in harmony, perfect harmony with God. We're still responsible. But God's going to work even the bad choices I've made, God can work that out ultimately to his good and his glory. To work together for good. To work together for good. Romans 12:2 says God's will is good. God's will is good. But here, to good, to those who are the called. We should have the word the in there because it's a definite article. According to his purpose. Now, you best understand the next verse. The next verse in Romans 8:28. You best understand verse 29. Okay? What does verse 29 say? Called according to his purpose. For whom he also to be what? To who?
Christ.
What do I know always in God's determined will in my life? What is he doing? He is always working all these good things. The good thing is that what happens to me, God has a plan to make me more like who?
Christ.
More like Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this. I don't know about you, but he knows exactly what I need. Exactly what I need. And exactly where the work is needed for me to become more like Jesus Christ. Now, I know exactly what my wife needs. Right? I'm sorry, Deborah. That just came out of nowhere. I don't know where that came from. Okay, page 70. What my wife needs is to obey me in all things, all the time, every situation. Amen?
Nope.
You chicken men. You chicken men. Men, bunch of chicken. Okay, God's commanded will. Here we are, his desired will. His commanded will, we say, by way, virtue of his commands. In this sense, God's will is his word. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we could quote that. And it says in verse 2 that this is God's good and perfect will. Listen up careful. Okay? He's saying we should give our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's Romans 12. Everybody with me? Okay? Present myself to God every day. Lord, I'm yours, not mine. Okay? Want to live the lordship of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'd like to know more detail what God's will is. Read the rest of that chapter. because he's listing issue after issue, thing after thing, that describes God's will for my life. For instance, he says this. Talk about the Bible being practical. It says, abhor evil and cling to good. Now that's God's will for my life. How about yours? Amen? So go to the rest of that chapter and you see all the things he lists that is God's will for my life in Christ. Romans 12:9. Be real in your love for others. There it is. Abhor evil, cling to good. What he's saying in 12:9. We want to be real. We want to be real in our care for each other. Ephesians 5:17-18. There's that verse about be continually controlled or filled by the what?
Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit. And a spirit-controlled life is a word-controlled, filled life. Don't make it more complicated than it is. Spirit-controlled life is not throwing your head back and going, you know, some kind of experience. Nope, the spirit-controlled life, the spirit always works in conjunction with truth. Remember, we already read that. He said he would guide us into all what? Into all truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17, it says, rejoice.
Always.
Always. Pray without
ceasing.
In everything what?
Wow,
there's enough work right there. Amen? 1 Peter 3:18. Last verse in 2 Peter. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why you're in here. You're in God's will because you're in here. You don't want to be in that other bad class. This is the good class, right? But we're in God's will because we're here because we want to grow. And the Bible says grow. So you're in God's will. Be encouraged with that. So then we have a kind of a comparison here. The decreed versus the desired. The sovereign will versus the command-oriented will. Sovereign will, secret, known only to God. Deuteronomy 29:29, right next to that statement. Next to number one, secret, known only to God. Deuteronomy 29:29. You know what it says? It says the secret things belong to God. We don't have it all figured out. It's interesting. We can put one name by both of these, number two. God's will can be resisted. It can't be resisted, but it can. And you could write Jonah right there. Because Jonah resisted, right? But he didn't resist because God, where did the fish spit him up? Where he told him to go to begin with, at Nineveh, right? Wiersbe calls Jonah the prophet with a bad attitude, right? He says that that Jonah had such a rotten attitude that even the fish couldn't stomach him, right? Encompasses both good and evil. Now, what verse ought to come to mind there? How about Joseph? What did he say? What did he say to his brothers? You meant it for
evil.
But what?
God meant it for good.
Yeah. Well, there are hard things in our lives. So we see the comparison, comparing the two. Number five, the believer is not commanded to know or discover what God has revealed. But believers are exhorted to know in the commanded will of God. Okay, responding to it, Genesis 18:25. What do the following verses teach us about the right response to God's sovereign will? That God always does what is
right.
Remember the interaction between Abraham and the Lord. What about if there's 50, 30, 10, you know? And then it says, will not the God of the universe do what is right? God always is just. Just in all his works and all his ways. James 4:13-15. Oh, yes. Going off, we've got plans for Thanksgiving. You got it all planned. You know exactly where you're going, what you're going to do, and everything is going to take place, and every right down to the menu, you got it all planned. And November comes, and what? You got the flu, and half the family doesn't make it, right? So what do you say when you're looking forward to Thanksgiving? What do you say? I got these plans. It's right to plan, but I'm going to put these plans in a category, and I'm going to say this is all we're going to do. But it's going to be what? God willing, Lord willing. We're going to plan, but we're going to plan. Here's the key, right next to James 4:13. Plan without presumption. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Don't presume on God. You're not Him. So we say, Lord willing, Lord willing, we surrender the fact you've got every right to change our plans in this, because you are God and you do what's right and best. 1 Peter 4:19. Whoa, when suffering, and notice Peter is all about suffering according to the will of God. He says it in that passage. When suffering, you're to entrust your soul to God. You're to trust Him. Does that make sense? Is that what it said? You're to trust Him. Now again, I want to say, suffering isn't about the fact we make dumb choices and we suffer for them. That's consequences. But Peter's also talking about, in 1 Peter, about doing right and suffering for it. And he says, when you do what's right and you suffer for it, you've just found yourself an incredibly good category. Somebody always did right and suffered, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So when suffering for doing right and complaining, you don't get it. And sometimes that happens. Anybody here ever do the right thing, get kicked for it? Anybody ever do that? Okay. That's all right. You do what's right. You do what's right. And you seek to live a life pleasing to God. No matter what happens, you can put your head on the pillow at night and say, I'm right with God. And if He takes me home in the night, all right, take me home. But I've sought to please Him. And I'm not responsible for everybody else. I'm responsible for me before the God of heaven. Amen? So, are you a mature saint? And can you do what's right? You know, you're trying to work it out with these relatives or whatever else, and they're not responding. What's wrong with them? That's not your problem. Your problem is to do what's right. And be gentle and be gracious and be kind and be loving. And not expect unbelievers to act like believers. Pagans act like pagans. We don't expect them to do what's right or think what's right. But we're here for them. And we want to see them know the Christ that saved us. And we were there once ourselves, were we not? Amen? We don't want to forget where we came from. Oh, man, don't forget. How many here this morning would like to go back and rewrite some of your own history? Yeah. Join a club. You'll get rich. Charge a nickel. You'll be a rich person. Don't forget where you came from. And God in His mercy saved you. And I have no idea why He saved you. But I got a bigger question, right? Why did He save me? Amen. Deuteronomy 11:1. What do the following verses teach us about the right response to God's command? That's pretty basic. Love and obey. That's what He said. Deuteronomy, right? Love God and obey Him by obeying Him. Luke 11:28. I'd like to turn there to drive that one home. Luke 11:28. Really encourage you with seeking to do God's will for His glory. Luke 11:28 says, but He said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and what? Now when the Bible says blessed, like the Beatitudes, blessed are the, or Psalm 1, blessed is the man who, the idea there is content, it is happy, is joyous. I want to say it this way. Yes, there is a blessing when you do right and seek to please God. There is a blessing to be had. John 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 13. Turn there. So doesn't that encourage you? God says, I'll honor that. Now He'll honor that in His own way and in His own time. Maybe I'll have to get to heaven to see the blessing and doing what's right. But I know the Bible says, God says He's going to honor it. He's going to bless it. Just like in Psalm 1, blessed is the man. He'll prosper versus the unregenerate man who's going to perish. John 13, 17, there it is again. Now I know it's here, it's in the context of the foot washing, but it's humility. But in 13, 17, what does He say? He says, if you know these things, what?
Blessed.
You're blessed if you do them. You're blessed if you do them. That's a good promise. That's encouragement to us. All right, James 1:22, we say this all the time. To be a what of the word? Be a doer, not just a hearer. So now we're on to specific guidance, and this is a good reminder in the box. Don't turn too quick here yet. Guidance comes from the Bible, prayerfully used. The advice of others is to be sought, not for their opinions. Somebody well said, opinions are like elbows. Everybody's got at least two of them, right? Okay? Opinions, dime a dozen. But guidance for assistance in using the Bible to help you make a decision that honors God is then key people in your life that can help you know God's will when you are struggling with an issue. And if they're wise people, they help you think biblically to make a wise decision. And pastors and elders, spiritual leaders, are to be that. But there's plenty of others that you can think of right now that you appreciate their life, their walk, their maturity in the faith, and you know that you can go to them and they will help you to have your head screwed on right. Because sometimes in the midst of hard decisions, we just really need help thinking through it. I have two, really three other key men, other than the elders here, who are right here and counsel in my life and have given me counsel in various areas and have loved me enough to call attention to things in my life that need to be worked on. So they are of great help to me likewise. But I have a dear friend all the way since back in the seminary days, pastoring in Texas. Another dear pastor friend that I've known since seminary. I know these guys over 40 years. It's in Evansville. Another key guy in my life that's out there in Colorado. Three guys among many that are a lot smarter than I am. And sometimes when I'm just want to talk man to man and I want help in thinking right, or it could even be conflict in my marriage. Because I realize that every time Deborah and I have conflict, it's her fault. I realize that. And I want to call these guys and have them confirm it to me. I'm having fun with you now, okay? You all right? All right there? But you see what I'm saying? These are key guys. I can get on the phone right now, and they will, even if I'm totally wrong, they will love me enough to correct me. You need people in your life like that. That'll cut it straight with you. So there's counsel. That's the whole point of this. There's help and counsel for you from others who you respect that think and live biblically. Now, guidance, page 72, guidance from the scriptures is provided for us in these three ways. This is key. I want to catch this. This is key. First of all, by direct commandments. We've already talked about that. And an obvious example of that is the Ten Commandments, right? That's clear. Okay? But the Bible is saturated with principles. That is to say, things that are stated in the scriptures that we gain principles to live by that we know are consistent with God's will. Now, I've given an example here of Romans 14:23. And I think it's good, Acts, Romans, that I read it, remind us of it, and then we can talk about it and see how it is a biblical principle. 14:23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Now here it is in a weak brother and the problem of if he eats something offered to idols, that could do a number on him, and how you want to be sensitive to not cause a brother or sister in Christ to stumble. But he's saying, but if he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating or doing so is not from faith. And so it says this, whatever is not from faith is what? So we can gain a principle from that. Some call this a holding principle. That is to say, if I'm not convinced that this is the right thing to do, it's a little gray, but I'm not sure. Now, this was a great help for us in parenting. Mom and Dad, there's a party I want to go to. Okay, great. But I'm not sure about them, who's holding it, and what's going on. Okay, let's think about that. If you're not sure, any kind of doubting about that, maybe then when in doubt, what?
Probably don't.
That's a great principle with reference to parenting, but it's also with reference to life, you know? I like action movies. How about you? You know, I like to see him beat up 17 guys and the good guy win. Huh? You know, that's why I like all the old westerns. Always the good guy wins, right? Okay? So I'm going to go, oh, I hear there's a great new western, and I'm going to go, and then all of a sudden I see it's rated R. Do I want to do this? See? I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you right now. But I might end up saying, when in doubt, what?
Don't.
Be careful. I don't want to hurt my soul. I want to be right with God. How about you? Amen? So this is a principle. This is a principle. Maybe I can just throw another example. I'm not sure you're all with me. But thinking biblically is to pull from the scriptures, accurately from the text, principles. For instance, we looked at the James passage where it says, for the anger of man, I think 20, anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God, right? Okay, what would be a principle I could pull from that? I could say, sinful anger never accomplishes anything good. Amen? Right? See, that's a principle that I can grab hold of and remember. We want to help our kids think in terms of principles from the scriptures that will guide our life, guide their lives and guide our lives. So, what we have direct commands, we have principles, and then we have examples and illustrations in the scriptures all over the place. And Romans 15:4 says what God has given to us in the Bible, in the scriptures, and there it's pointing to the Old Testament, are for our example and for our benefit. So I want to follow the example of Daniel, don't you? Dare to be him, right? I don't want to follow the example of Achan. Remember Achan? Saw that gold buried, you know? I don't want to live for money and things. I want to live for the... We got examples, good and bad, all throughout the scriptures for our benefit. And that will guide us then in our decision making. Read 1 Corinthians 10, according to verse 6 through 11. We are told Israel's experiences in the wilderness happen as our what? Our example. When you read about Israel in the Old Testament, do you feel sometimes it's talking about you? Yeah? You say, how come it's the same thing over and over and over again? And we see ourselves even in the example of Israel. But theirs so often related to the things that they loved more than they determined to love and please God. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Or sick is the idea. Who can know it? That's the reality of our depravity. Now we get new hearts when we get Christ. Amen? We have new hearts. But there's plenty of the old man there yet. You with me? So when somebody says, okay, well just follow your heart. I have that in Proverbs 28:26. What does Proverbs 28:26 say? The person who trusts in his heart. What does it say about him? Yeah, he's a fool. But how often, let me tell you how depraved your heart is and mine. If you want to do something that you already know is completely contrary to the Word of God, you can sell yourself on doing it if you're not remaining right with God. I'm here to tell you this morning that I've had people over the years, don't you ever be this, sit across from me in my office and tell me they're going to do something they already know is completely contrary to the Word of God, but in there they feel that their heart is leading them to do it. And all I can do is show that person from the Word is, wait a minute, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that sin is deceitful. The deceitfulness of sin. So, oh boy, we have to be careful about saying, we're going to do this and just follow my heart in this area. Get the point? Amen? Guidance guaranteed in the scriptures. What's the promise of Psalm 23:3 where he saw that? He will guide us. Righteousness. What's the key to guidance in Psalm 119:105? The word. We've already been at Proverbs 3. Three prerequisites. I got it out there. Trust him. Trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Not our own understanding. Third, in everything acknowledge him. What will be given to the one who trusts God and prayerfully seeks his guidance? We've already noted that. James says he'll give us wisdom. He'll help us. Proverbs 2, what will wisdom gain? What will wisdom gain from God's word? Allow you to discern. That is a key word, discern. Righteousness, justice, equity, and every good course, every good thing. Did you get it? Righteousness, justice, equity, every good course. The more that we grow in the word, and the more that we grow in wisdom, the more that we grow in discerning, discernment. And the more that we grow in a discernment, the more that we're able to make the right choices. So notice Dr. Ferguson's quote in the box. Often people say they are having problems with guidance, when the real problem they face is doing what they know is right. Those growing in their understanding and obedience to the scriptures will also be growing in their ability to discern. Everybody look up here. Discernment is to be able to separate out error from what is true. Separate out what is true from error. That's discernment. To really see beyond what's just there at face value. All right. I had some other notes just real quick about this, and then we're going to close for today. Just also to remind you, this section now that we're in, we're getting into hot topics, okay? Next one's on trials. You don't know anything about trials, do you? The next one is on taming your tongue. Is anybody going to come that week? The next one is on communication. Anybody here need to grow as a communicator? Huh? So these are great, great topics that you're being rewarded with us getting into because you've hung in here, okay? Just a couple statements on God's will for our life. And hey, Rob, if there's anything from today that just stands out to you, I want to give you the freedom to make a comment on, if you'd like to. Okay, if you'd like to. But let me make a couple statements first, give you a moment to think. You don't have to, but if you'd like to. Okay, couple statements. I want to remind you, mature saints are able to discern God's will because they have learned to make decisions in light of the word. Keep growing. Here's another key one, particularly with reference to helping our young people, particularly teens. I'll say it a couple different ways, maybe. I want you to know that the will of God for your life will always be more about what you are becoming rather than what you're doing or where you're going or where you're living. A mature Christian is useful to God no matter where you're at, no matter where he's planted you, no matter what you're doing. So the right thing on top is not, okay, here comes the high school, or should I go to college, or should I, become an apprentice in this or whatever else. That's a significant decision, amen? But it's secondary. It's secondary to what kind of person that young man's becoming. And then that has everything to do with him knowing God and his walk with God. Because, let me say it one more time, no matter, those two boys back there, no matter where they end up one day in life, if they are what God desires for them to be, they'll be a blessing no matter where they're at and what they're doing, and they'll be living in the will of God. Amen? Amen? So it's qualitative more than anything else. If that makes sense, I hope that it does. Then one more. Avoid turning the will of God and guidance into an issue relating to every mundane decision in life. People get goofy about this. Okay? A blessing from God in this life is to enjoy the freedom and privilege of choices. We have choices. Should I buy the blue car or the red car? It'll make a bit of difference, really. Secondary to all the other things about the will of God to your life. We have choices. We have choices. I prefer the brown one, anyhow, rather than the red or blue one. Okay, well, we have choice. Get my drift? We have choices. Enjoy them. Enjoy them. Remember Ephesians 5:17. Do not be foolish about the will of God, but understand what it is. You want to add anything to this?
Romans 12 kind of. That spoke to me. I'll probably spend some time in Romans 12.
Okay, and go read 1 and 2 for us again. It's just a great place to stop.
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen. Good place to stop. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Trials next week. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is just saturated for our will, with our will in this life. You didn't save us and then leave us to not know how you would desire for us to live and choose various things in life to be the kind of people that you want us to be. And I do thank you for the freedom of choices in life. But your word is so rich for us, and we thank you for it. Now, strengthen us as doers of the word, based on the things that we've learned today, and bless us in this hour to come. Strengthen us in worship for the battle before us in Monday through Saturday, that we might live what we know and what we truly believe, and in light of what you've done for us in Christ, in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.